supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, you're listening to IRIB English Radio, this program, today's special. We're speaking about orphan care in Islam.
She was just standing there, little girl all alone. Barely covered head to toe, barely just 12 years old. Why is she all alone? Why is the world just so cold? Why don't we play our part? What is hard in our hearts? What is hard in our hearts?
Today, Friday, is the 22nd of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. By recitation of chapter Nisa, verse 36, we bless this part of our program.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا.
Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him. And to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor farther away, the companion at your side, the traveler, and those whom your right hands possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, some different rights are spoken about. They are irrespective of the rights of Allah and the fights of people and also some civilities of social life. On the whole, there are 10 commandments mentioned in the verse. In one part, it pays for the rights of orphans and encourages the believing people to doing good unto the orphans. The reason of this emphasis is that as a result of different incidents, there always exists some orphan children in every society that forgetting them not only spoils their condition, but also puts the situation of the society in danger.
قلب رحيم كفيله له النعيم هو اليتيم قلب رحيم وصية النبي الكريم.
Orphan care in Islam is the topic of this episode of today's special. As Muslims, we are ordered to ease the plight of all those who suffer. It is a collective responsibility that can't be taken lightly. Muslims are directly ordered to take care of the orphans. Even when it comes to charity, a Muslim should allocate a portion of it for social purposes, atop of which comes catering for the needs of orphans, especially at times of disasters. Allah Almighty says, and feed with food the needy wretch, the orphan and the prisoner, for love of him. It is enough to say that the Prophet promised those who take care of the orphans with paradise. He is reported to have said, the best house is the one where orphans are cared for and treated almost honorably and kindly.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with favoring orphans in the Islamic religion. In this connection, it must be indicated that each and every conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been a lesson for us, a practical lesson. I mean, not a theoretical lesson, but a practical one. The Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts in the Holy Quran in this way, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There has been a noble role model in the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please note carefully that, فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means that both in his character and in his conduct, everybody should find a good and reliable role model such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts that this role model is noble in every sense of the term. Elsewhere, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, indicates that those people who are not generous, those people usually don't want to spend money in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who are generous enough and want to remain generous in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should favor orphans and those people who are in need of financial help and financial attention. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
You are with today's special. We're speaking about orphan and its status in Islam. You will have the best house. What does it mean? Let's see. As Muslims, it is essential to support yourself, your close relatives, and the needy. But did you know that Allah speaks about orphans in multiple places in the Holy Quran and lists them right after our close relatives? Yes, in Surah Baqarah, verse 83, Allah says, "And recall when we made a covenant with the children of Israel. You shall serve none but Allah and do good to parents, kinsmen, orphans, and the needy. You shall speak kindly to people and establish prayer and give zakat," that means purifying alms. The Quran associates the orphans as close relatives but still in need of our service and goodwill. And what better way to help someone in need who is like family? By giving them a loving home, whether that is in your own home or helping situate orphans in another safe and secure home, you will gain the reward of this union. Your home or the home you help place a child in will be the best home.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَارِ. رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى. رَبُّنَا الْهَادِي الْوَدُودِ فَضْلُهُ مِلْءُ الْوُجُودِ عَفْوُهُ خَيْرٌ وَجُودٌ فَارْتَجِي دَوْمًا رِضًا.
One question is here, how can we help the orphans? Give your financial support. Some orphanages are suffering from overcrowding and as a result do not offer the best environment for children. It became clear that many of these institutions are understaffed and many of the workers have little training and overall most receive very low wages. Stop and think about this for a moment. Yes. There is a critical need for more orphanages. There is also an urgency to the need to give better training to volunteers and workers in orphanages so that they are ready to meet the emotional and physical needs of children placed in their care. As a society, we must make sure that those who make it their life's calling to help children in these institutions are also treated with dignity. These financial and training needs are met if we as a society choose to do a little effort to help those who help the children in need. Today you can help an orphanage with your financial support, inshallah.
The Holy Quran says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرُ. When it comes to the yatim, be very careful of his emotions. Do not disturb him. Do not bother him. Do not disappoint him. Don't make him cry. Why? Because this child has enough to deal with. He's lost his father. She's lost her mother. He has enough sorrow and pain to deal with. So much grievances that they have. Now you come and you want to upset them. No. When you know a child is an orphan, you have to be extra sensitive with this child. Because there is so much sorrow in this child's heart. Yesterday I saw a video clip they sent of a young child in Iraq. He seemed to be about 10 years old. So there's this reporter who's doing an interview with him on camera. He tells him, why did you leave school? He left school. He said, because I have to make a living. He said, my mother died and my father died. And I have younger brothers and sisters that I have to take care of them. So I have to go out and work. He goes and he collects garbage. I don't know what. He collects some stuff and he goes, sells it for such a cheap price. So he says, because of that, I cannot work anymore. And then the child started to cry. He said, I wish I could, you know, follow my mother and I could be also in her grave with her. I don't want to live in this life anymore. Can you imagine what type of life this orphan has to live? So the Quran says, be extra careful with the yatim. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Make sure you never disappoint them. You never yell at them. You never make them sad. You never make them cry, because they have enough to deal with. There's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or afwan, from Al-Imam al-Sadiq, where the Imam says, it's a very, very touching hadith and a powerful hadith. The Imam says, إذا بكى اليتيم, if a yatim, an orphan, cries, اهتز له عرش الله. Allahu Akbar. When a yatim cries, the arsh, the throne of God, shakes.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting discussion. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and let us hear some hopeful words of divine mercy from the master of eloquence, the commander of the faithful, the leader of the pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Every person who is tempted to go astray does not deserve punishment.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is about the etiquette and way of accepting a wedding invitation. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said the following: when you are invited to weddings, take your time in attending. Things that say you're invited to a wedding invitation, you get a wedding invitation, and it's interesting to note that in another tradition, the Prophet said, if you're ever invited to a wedding banquet, make sure that you accept. So on one hand, we have been recommended to accept the wedding invitation. On the other hand, however, the Prophet says, when you want to go to the wedding, right, take your time in going there. I mean, it's not necessary for you to go there at the beginning and sit there throughout the whole celebration and ceremony, right? Why? The Prophet said, because for they incite remembrance of this world's pleasures. You know, usually weddings are, you know, festive and, you know, people dance, and sometimes there's also, God forbid, sometimes there's a lot of times there's some forbidden and prohibited activities going on. We're not talking about that. In those situations, you shouldn't attend at all. We're talking about normal weddings in which nothing prohibited Islamically is going on. There's no mixed gathering involved. There's no other kind of, God forbid, there's no, you know, consumption of alcoholic beverages or something like that. But it's just a normal wedding invitation. Nevertheless, it encourages and incites the heart to the remembrance of the world and leads to the forgetfulness of God. So, although you should accept, you should take your time in going there. Conversely, in the second part of the hadith, the Prophet said the following: when you are invited to funerals, hasten to attend. As you're invited to a funeral, somebody has passed away, make sure that you go there on time, get there early, because remembrance of death, remembrance of the hereafter, of the akhirat, right? These are good, you know, they lead to, taqwa, they lead to piety, and therefore it's good to go there and stay there as much as possible. The Prophet said, hasten to attend, meaning these funerals, for they incite remembrance of the hereafter. فَإِنَّهَا تَذَكُّرٌ فَإِنَّهَا تَذَكُّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. Verily, they are remembrance of the hereafter. And remembrance of the hereafter is something good. And the more we remember hereafter, the better it is. So therefore, we should go there and stay there as much as possible. And also, why we have been encouraged to go and visit the graveyards, because it reminds us of death, it reminds us of the hereafter, of the impermanence of this world, and, the fleeting nature of this world. And, it helps us, in preparation of our journey towards the hereafter and the akhirat, and leads us to adopt piety and taqwa in the life of this world. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the etiquettes of accepting wedding invitations, and conversely also the etiquettes of accepting the invitations to funerals, in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Until next time, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Alhamdulillah, we finished the rule إظهار, إدغام and إخفاء. So one more rule is left, which is
إقلام.
So now we will go through the Surah Abbas and recite each and every ayah, inshallah, and apply any of these rules, okay? Four rules we have studied, we have learned, and we will apply, okay? Yes. We find, three steps are there. Find the tanween or nun sakin, take a look at the next letter, and
apply
the rule, yes. Okay? Whatever the letter is, based on the letter that comes after nun or tanween, okay? You have to apply the rule. Yes, Ali Nasir?
Okay, if there is small meme, that is the
sign to stop.
Sign of
Iqlab.
Iqlab. And if it is up of the word,
that's again, it comes with Fatha or Dhamma. Fatha or Dhamma with that meme.
No
again.
Difference. Huh? No difference that it is up of the word or down of the word.
If it is with Kasra, it comes down.
Uh-huh.
If it is with Fatha or Dhamma, it comes on the top. Mm-hmm. Of course, because Fatha and Dhamma, they come on the top. They are written on the top. So, let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
عبس وتولى.
عبس وتولى.
Next ayah, example for إخفاء. أن جاءه الأعمى.
أن جاءه الأعمى.
I heard someone clearly pronounce the noon sound. Not أن. أن جاءه الأعمى.
أن جاءه الأعمى.
ما شاء الله, he fixed his mistake. وما يدريك لعله يزكى.
وما يدريك لعله يزكى.
We have an example for إدغام. لعله إدغام مثلين. Uh-huh. Identical, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. لعله يزكى as well. إدغام, okay? Merging.
Yes.
تشديد is the sign of merging. Whenever you see تشديد, تشديد is the sign of merging. إدغام, okay? Next. أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. I made a mistake. Okay, let me show you. You do not make this mistake. Recite the ayah.
أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى.
We just did the same mistake. فتنفعه الذكرى. Pay attention.
You all.
I'm checking, okay, your consciousness. Are you conscious or no? So, let's repeat this ayah. أو يذكر فتن. This is the example for إخفاء, right? فتنفعه الذكرى. أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى.
أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى.
أما من استغنى.
أما من استغنى.
أما is the example for إدغام, but not إدغام with نون ساكن or تنوين. Yes. مثلين. Yes. مثلين means the same. Identical letters. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى.
فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى.
Okay, لَهُ, there's a baby vowel. You have to straighten the sound. This is a long vowel. Yeah?
Yes.
Short vowel we have? Ooh. Long vowel? Ooh. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى.
فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى.
وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى.
وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى.
وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى.
وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى.
وَهُوَ يَخْشَى.
وَهُوَ يَخْشَى.
فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَّى.
فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَّى.
Okay, the rule is first ikhfa and then izhar. Yes.
Yes.
فَأَنْتَ لَهُ فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. عَنْهُ,
yes.
Nothing, but hiding, and also the next one
izhar.
Nothing.
Yeah,
yes,
nothing.
Hiding. This one hiding. أَنْتَ, and the next one nothing. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى.
فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى.
كلا إنها تذكرة.
كلا إنها تذكرة.
So إنها, is it إدغام مثلين or the إدغام with نون ساكن؟
إدغام with نون ساكن.
Both of them. Two نون we have مثلين.
Yes.
They are the same, identical. And also نون ساكن it is. إدغام. Both of them. So كلا إنها تذكرة.
كلا إنها تذكرة.
فمن شاء ذكره.
فمن شاء ذكره.
في صحف مكرمة.
في صحف مكرمة.
مرفوعة مطهرة.
مرفوعة مطهرة.
بأيدي سفرة.
بأيدي سفرة.
كرام بررة.
كرام بررة.
قتل الإنسان ما أكفره.
قتل الإنسان ما أكفره.
Example for إخفاء. من أي شيء خلقه.
من أي شيء خلقه.
Two examples for. Two examples are here for.
إظهار.
إظهار. من أي شيء خلقه. من أي شيء خلقه.
من أي شيء خلقه.
من نطفة خلقه فقدره.
من نطفة خلقه فقدره.
One example for إدغام and one example for
إخفاء.
إظهار, Mr. إظهار. من نطفة إدغام and تن خلقه إظهار.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق. يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق. اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق
من نطفة خلقه فقدره
من نطفة خلقه فقدره
ثم السبيل يسره
ثم السبيل يسره
ثم أماته فأقبره
ثم أماته فأقبره
ثم إذا شاء أنشره
ثم إذا شاء أنشره
كلا لما يقض ما أمره
كلا لما يقض ما أمره
فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه
فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه
Two examples for
إخفاء
إخفاء ينظر إنسان Yes?
Yes.
Okay, great. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا
أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا
ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا
ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا
فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا
فأنبتنا فيها حبة.
An example for
إقلاب.
That tiny meme, yes.
Yes.
فأنبتنا فيها حبة.
فأنبتنا فيها حبة.
وعنبا وقضبا.
وعنبا وقضبا.
Example for عنبا وقضبا example yes. for
إدغام
إدغام with غنى or without غنى
with
غنى وزيتونا ونخلا
وزيتونا ونخلا
example for
إدغام
with or without غنى
with
غنى وحدائق غلبا
وحدائق غلبا
وفاكهة وأبا
وفاكهة وأبا
متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم
متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم
متاعا لكم متاعا لكم example for
إدغام
إدغام and لأنعامكم Example for?
إظهار.
إظهار. أنعامكم عين. ما شاء الله. Okay. فإذا جاءت الصاخة.
فإذا جاءت الصاخة.
يوم يفر المرء من أخيه.
يوم يفر المرء من أخيه
وأمه وأبيه
وأمه وأبيه
وصاحبته وبنيه
وصاحبته وبنيه
صاد is a heavy letter وصاحبته وبنيه
وصاحبته وبنيه
لكل امرئ منهم
لكل امرئ
No, no, that's حمزة الوصل لكل امرئ Okay, forward لكل امرئ Do not say لكل امرئ No لكل امرئ منهم
لكل امرئ منهم
يومئذ wrong يومئذ شأن يغنيه
يومئذ شأن يغنيه
أحسن لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه
لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه
وجوه يومئذ مسفرة
وجوه يومئذ مسفرة
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. May Allah Almighty inshallah grant you all with a long life and a healthy life. So that's all for today, and the time's up. Inshallah, we'll see you next session. Stay with us, stay with IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. So we finished the rule ikhfa, idgham, idhar, and iqlab. The examples, alhamdulillah, we practiced in the on the verses of the Holy Quran and we applied, okay? See you inshallah in the next session. Stay with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahiri.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a very significant and important question. And that question is about the meaning of the word zuhud or asceticism. You know, asceticism or zuhud is one of the important and significant Islamic virtues, and it has been encouraged in the Hadith and in the Holy Quran. And this asceticism or zuhud is kind of tied up to a more general virtue, a more central virtue, and that is the renunciation of the world. And the relinquishment of the love of the world. You know, there's a hadith, a famous hadith, which says that hubbu dunya ra'su kulli khata'in. Love of the world is the head or the cause or the root of all evil, right? So this renunciation of the world or the love of the world, right, it's manifested in various ways. One of the ways that it's manifested is zuhud or asceticism, you know? So this is why it's so significant. But unfortunately, there is a lot of ambiguity and misunderstanding regarding the meaning of this word. And people go to extremes sometimes, at least maybe not in our times, but in the past, a lot of people have gone to extremes and they have adopted an incorrect version of zuhud and asceticism. So we see certain Sufis, right, who practiced an extreme form of zuhd by, for example, going and living in the mountains, and you know, never getting married, never having children. Sometimes a lot of them would even suffice themselves with a walnut or a date, right? Every day. And it's interesting to note that a lot of times this led them to acquire certain spiritual, you know, abilities, right? And these have been recorded and have in the annals of history, and there's no denying them. But the question that we want to ask today is not whether that this extreme form of asceticism, does it lead to somebody gaining a certain spiritual power and, you know, ability. Rather, we want to say, within the context of Islam in general, is this something virtuous or not? Right? What is the virtuous zuhd or asceticism in Islam? Fortunately, this has been alluded to in the hadith and in the Quran. When we look at the hadith and the Quran, we see that the zuhd, which is virtuous in Islam and is Islamic in nature, is the one which is an action of the heart. It doesn't imply foregoing the world, practically foregoing the world, not having anything to do with the world, right? Rather, it implies not attaching one's heart to the world, right? Let's look at a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam where he kind of alludes to this meaning of zuhd. Imam Ali said, "Those who restrain themselves from worldly pleasures are such." So the actual word that Imam Ali used is "azahidina fi dunya," are such that their hearts are weeping, though outwardly they may laugh. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the meaning of zuhd in the words of the Aima and Imam Ali alayhi wasalam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters and brothers. This is Asma, and I have the privilege to be your host for today's discussion. Well, here with me, I have two very dear and credible guests, Sister Zainab and Brother Muzaffar. It's been so long since the last time I met you two, and today I am over pleased to have you both in one picture. Okay, ladies, first I will start with you, Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, and how are you doing?
Assalam. Thank you so much.
I'm glad.
Doing great, alhamdulillah.
Thank God.
Totally psyched to be here with you guys.
So pleasure to be with you. And you, brother, assalamu alaikum, and how's life?
Wa alaykum salam. Life is good, alhamdulillah. And yeah, I'm here after such a long time. And
yes,
great
and
to
it's
be back.
Great to be with you.
Thanks
too.
Thanks for having me.
So, just as the ritual of this program, I would love you two to give me a very short introduction about yourself. And let's start with you, Brother Muzaffar.
Yeah, so I'm Muzaffar Haider. Mm-hmm. I'm born and raised in the UK. I'm studying in the Hausa. And now I occasionally show up at IRIB English Radio and discuss some interesting topics with you.
Of course, topics. Of course. And you, sister?
I'm Zainab. I'm a student of philosophy.
Well, sister, I'd start with you. Are you married?
Getting there.
So in the process. And you, brother?
I'm married, yeah, alhamdulillah.
So you already have an experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you ask others to get married?
Yeah, yeah. I often encourage youth especially to get married.
Mm-hmm. Actually, know. Before we were coming, you were saying something to someone on the phone.
Yeah,
we
incidentally,
started.
I was. Yeah, there's a sister out there and she was saying, you know, how she's not married and she's wanting to get married.
Oh, she's wanting.
She really wants to get married, but she's not finding anybody. What should I do? So I was telling her that, you know, you need to be patient and, you know, you can keep trying, try marriage websites, etc.
So you think these applications or websites or whatever that are available in net are a good way of getting married?
Something that we often look down upon and we often feel like, oh, why should I go to a marriage website? Mm-hmm. It's kind of beneath me. I think we shouldn't feel that way. We should use the internet to connect with people who want to connect with us, especially if it's for the noble cause of marriage. Remember, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that marriage is my institute and one who abandons my institute is not from me. And this is a very heavy hadith right here. In today's society, it is looked at as something very light, something very trivial, especially in the West. Now, you know, men and men can get married, women and women can get married. In France, a woman married a tree. Over there, somebody married, I don't know, an animal. It's just getting ridiculous.
And they married themselves.
Hilarious one are those who marry themselves.
Like, what do you mean you married yourself? Why are you announcing that? You know, marriage is actually something very sacred, something very pure. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The Quran says the male is not like the female. Guys, can we get these basic things down, please? Society, especially in the West, is trying to drag and pull everybody away from these basic fundamental realities of human life and the sacredness of relationships. You know, marriage is just such a pure thing from the Islamic perspective that if a person belonging to another religion, right, they're not even Muslim, but they get married, then that couple becomes Muslim. Islam accepts their marriage. Nikah.
You don't have to destroy your institution.
You already are married. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That means that in other religions, when two people get married, even if it's not done in an Islamic way, if it's done in a Christian way, a Jewish way, whatever,
yeah.
Subhanallah, Allah accepts that to a lesser or greater extent.
Mm-hmm. Let's go for a little break. We'll be back in no time. Dear audience, stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So, welcome back to your audience. This is IRIB English Radio. We are having a discussion in your Back to Reality. Now, I want to ask your idea about governmental encouragements. Do you think is it a duty for the governments to make such encouragements for the youth to get married or in order not to decline their marriage?
The government should make it easy. I don't know about encouragement.
Should the government facilitate?
Oh, absolutely not. It's not the place of the government at all to stick its nose into people's private affairs, but it should definitely facilitate it. Mm-hmm. if especially we see that in Muslim societies where the youth shy away from marriage because, you know, it's the stress of, well, having a house and having a car and having a steady income. So I firmly believe that the government should facilitate the needs that young couples or even older couples or whatever couples have in order for them to focus more on their relationship than having to stress over the fact that, can I pay rent this month? Right? There should be some loans. There should be easier, more lenient conditions in loan giving for banks and stuff like that, which, you know, it exists in a lot of countries.
I would disagree to a certain extent with Sister Zainab here. I think governments should encourage marriage. Yeah. I think they should encourage it. Notice the wording. I didn't say enforce, right?
Yeah.
Encourage.
So you mean there's no
law? No, let's define encourage real quick.
I mean, making it easy and facilitating for it is a kind of encouragement, right?
You should promote
it,
though.
See, what's happening is...
Go around putting banners up?
Yeah, no. What's happening is I'm looking at the opposite. And what... They're actually essentially facilitating divorce. I'm looking at the West. If you look at the statistics, especially in a country like the UK, it is awful. Like the advantages that a woman has in divorce, she doesn't have in marriage.
Exactly.
Right? You can just marry a guy and then split his wallet in half and just go away with the money. That's better for you. You know, go and live your life, that individualistic mindset. The reason why governments, whether they're Islamic or not, should encourage marriage is because it prevents so many societal harms. One of my teachers once said that there's no point in spraying each individual fly. You need to get rid of the garbage itself, which is encouraging the flies to enter the house, for example. It's the same thing.
So you basically, if they do that, divorce, if they accommodate and facilitate, they would be encouraging.
Yeah. Encourage it, right? Mm. But you said it quite emphatically that they definitely shouldn't encourage. I think, no, governments should do amr bil ma'ruf, right? They should enjoin the good. But anyway, I wanted to say that, look, you're stopping drugs, right, in the streets. You're stopping gang crime. You're stopping this. It's just like playing whack-a-mole. What's the point? If you look at the sources of these things, it's because they come from broken households, right? Most of these parents, they're divorced. And so when this child comes home from school, he's not getting that upbringing that he needs. His mind is split into two. And so that frustration which is created in the child from a young age and that lack of warmth and love and care that he needs from a family unit is not being given to him. And so... he feels like, why shouldn't I go towards drugs and alcohol? And why shouldn't I steal a car and go for a joyride? That's where all the crime is coming from.
Mm-hmm. I would like you to talk about the ways of encouragement.
Yeah, exactly. The part you said the government has to do...